Well, we've been looking over the last few weeks at the five habits of highly missional people, and we've got these from this book, which is a brilliant little book called Surprise the World. We've looked at bless, eat, listen, learn, and now this week, sense. Any new habit, though, takes time to be sort of embedded in our lives, doesn't it? Such time to become a norm. So, you know, healthy eating, for example, five a day. Do we all do that? Has to become a habit, doesn't it? Or is it 10 a day? That doesn't seem possible, does it, to eat 10 healthy things in a day? I have a theory that if I have a large slab of chocolate cake, that if I eat an apple afterwards, it cancels it out. You have that one too, Matt. Yeah, it's a really good theory, isn't it? Lynn tells me it doesn't work, which is a real blow. You know, 10 a day, I could have a whole chocolate cake on that basis, couldn't I? It'd be really good. But healthy eating can become a permanent change. It can become the norm. I never used to go for salad. If we went out, it was always a bacon and brie baguette or something. But now I like salad. It's become something that's changed in me. And we want to make room for missional habits to be permanently embedded in our lives and in our hearts, right to our core. And you know, a life signed up to Jesus' mission is a life that's challenging, but is purposeful and is exciting. It's a sort of flourishing and abundant sort of life. And Ida read just a moment ago of the parable of the sower and the sowing of the seed. And the seed, of course, is the word of God, the message of God that is to be implanted in our hearts. And when it is, it grows a wonderful plant. The plant germinates, it bursts forth with light, it's life. It's amazing how a tiny little shoot can push soil out of the way and find its way out into the sunlight. And then the sunlight shines down upon it and its leaves unfurl and the rain falls on it and it gathers nutrients from the soil and it grows strong. And it bears fruit eventually, and that fruit has seeds on that spreads to multiply life. And that's what we're meant to be like. We're meant to be flourishing plants because we've received the seed, the word of God. And the word is vibrant, and the word is true. And you know, God sows into your heart good things. Forgiveness. Love, acceptance. And with those things, we can flourish and to grow to be strong plants. And we can share this life-giving love with others. And in Surprise the World, Michael Frost suggests that a flourishing kingdom life is nourished and extended by noticing God's kingdom around us. And he suggests that we each keep a journal, a sort of notebook, perhaps you do this already, a prayer journal, where we notice God acting in the world around us and when we act as well in kingdom ways. So we're looking for kingdom acts, those of others, and kingdom acts ourselves. And then we write these down in a notebook. It's a bit like sort of wearing a Fitbit, which helps you be aware of the exercise that you're doing. And so encourages you to exercise. It's the same with as we note things in the kingdom. It encourages, it opens our kingdom eyes. We become kingdom aware. And Frost tells how Tom Wright, who's an amazing theologian, has isolated four themes of the kingdom that we might look for. And we might notice, we might record in our notebooks each day. And the four themes are reconciliation, justice, beauty, and wholeness. Reconciliation, justice, beauty, and wholeness. And these things have the sort of aroma of heaven around them. And when we join in with these things, we have a heavenly aroma around us as well. We smell of heaven when we do things, and that's a sweet smell. Reconciliation, justice, beauty, and wholeness. These things will all be fully realized in heaven. But until that time, we are sort of drawing them back and recognizing them in the world and recognizing them in our lives so that we bring the kingdom here. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's what we're doing as we recognize those things. So let's just take a little look at each one for a moment. Reconciliation. Reconciliation is a kingdom theme right at the heart of the good news of Jesus Christ, right at the heart of Jesus' work. Colossians 1 says, in a sort of packed verse, says this, Colossians 1:19, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." So through Jesus' cross, we are forgiven and reconciled with God our Father, first of all. And then, because of his work, we are reconciled with one another. Forgiveness is sort of released from God the Father into us. And then we can release that forgiveness and that peacemaking to other people as well, so that we live in peace with our brothers and sisters and those around us. So how do you work out that deep truth in your life? How are you a kingdom bringer? A kingdom maker? A kingdom person, a peacemaker in your relationships? Are you a peacemaker in your family, amongst your friends, in the workplace, in your neighborhood? Because our society is sort of slipping into a sort of a shoot from the hip culture, isn't it? It's a sort of an EastEnders, get out of my pub mentality that we have, isn't it? They all jumped a bit when I did that in the 9:30. But it's true, isn't it? These values seep into our lives. And don't be fooled by the sort of slightly more genteel approaches that say little, but actually cut deep, as those who don't fit are sort of subtly ostracized and pushed to the side of the group. That sort of disunity, that sort of pain that goes on in our world. How sweet is the aroma of forgiveness and unconditional acceptance and love that comes with the kingdom. Our world needs the sort of courageous reconciliation that Jesus bought on the cross through his death. And in that death on the cross, he released that reconciliation to us, for us to release to the world. It's a kingdom value that we carry and can share. What about justice? Well, justice involves us being rigorously honest and trustworthy in our own dealings with others. It also involves us standing up and being counted on issues like sex trafficking, fair trade, the environment, people having clean water across the world, donating generously in money and time to make these things happen and to get involved. Justice. Something on God's heart. It's a kingdom value. Or beauty. Beauty really speaks of God, the amazing creation around us. As we stop and we look and we notice, we see the hand of the Creator behind it. Music, art, creativity speaks of the Creator God. Then there's beauty in order, isn't there? Mathematics, science. They are places of actually beautiful things. There's joy in work well done, isn't there? There's even a sort of beauty in a street well swept, or in Charlie, our caretaker's amazingly straight line of chairs that we have every week. He takes a pride, there's a beauty in what he does. Or a litter pit organized, a person wisely helped with their insurance or their financial planning. These are sort of us using our gifts to bring order and beauty and godliness to our world. Wholeness. Doctors, medics, nurses, psychotherapists, those involved in medical research, palliative care, those helping people die well. These are expressions of the kingdom. Whether the people involved in them know it or not, they are actually saying something about the kingdom. And we believe, of course, in praying for supernatural healing for people too, directly from God. Emotional, physical, spiritual healing. And we need to learn to do this better and to have courage and faith in our prayers as we do that. These things of wholeness speak of heaven, because in heaven there will be no sickness or pain or death. It will be amazing. Jesus said, you see, the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. And as we notice these things, and as we get involved, we sort of help bring in the kingdom. And Jesus' kingdom reign is visible to us. It's tangible around us. And there's a thankfulness that then comes from our hearts, so that when we speak of Jesus, he's not sort of shoehorned into our conversation awkwardly, but he's a natural outcome of the transformation that we see around us and the kingdom that we recognize. And as we sort of smell of heaven, then people will ask us, well, why are you different? And then we'll be able to say that it's about Jesus. So, Michael Frost's book, we bless three people. We eat with three people. I think that's been quite challenging already, hasn't it? We have a sustained time when we listen to the Spirit each week, set time aside. We study the Gospels deeply to really engage with Jesus and learn from Jesus, learn from the way he did his life. And then we connect with heaven by noting the times that we see the kingdom at work in our world and in our lives, in life-giving ways. And you see, that's what it means to be planted in good soil and to be flourishing, strong plants, plants that bear fruit, plants that produce seed that shares transforming life. That's what we're meant to be. God is shining his love upon us like warm sunlight, the nutrients we pull from the ground of Jesus, who is at our root, enables us to be strong, seed-bearing, hopeful people. But you know, there's a warning in this parable too. Because the thorns and the brambles can grow up and they can choke us and they can choke off the life and they can blot out the light of God that shines down on us and they can steal the nutrients from our roots. So that we're plants that don't really flourish. We're just sort of rather weak. And plants that don't flourish don't produce any fruit. And plants that don't produce any fruit don't produce any seeds. You see, the purpose of being a Christian is not just to be a plant, it's to produce seeds and fruit. Our lives are to be fruitful 40, 60, 100 times over. So this term sermon series, that we've looked at this book and we've engaged with it, leaves us really with a question. Are you fruitful? Are you willing to make space to be fruitful in your life? This is your purpose on this earth now, if you're a Christian today. You're to be a seed sower, to live out the habits of a missional person. And other things have to sort of come beneath that. Whatever you do, whether it's the five habits or whether you come out with other things that are missional for you and fit and right for your life, you need to ask, is your life different from the other people who aren't Christians around you? Are you free to flourish, or have the weeds or thorns got in the way? Do you smell of heaven, or do you smell like everyone else? That's the question. Well, let's stand together, shall we? And we're going to I'm going to lead us in prayer. Just invite the Spirit for a moment. Lord, we thank you for the seed that you have planted in our hearts. What a precious seed of your word. Thank you that we have received that, that has germinated in us, that you have grown within us a new life, an amazing life of acceptance, forgiveness, love, that we are precious to you, that you shine the sunlight of your love upon us, that our leaves can unfurl bathed in the rays of your love, that we have the nutrients of your word to draw into the roots of our lives, an experience of Jesus we can abide in. Lord, we thank you. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is. And yet, Lord, we know that there's a barren world around us. People who haven't received this, people who don't know it. So, Lord, we ask for your Spirit. We ask that you will make us different, fruitful, multiplying your life. Lord, we know we cannot do that ourselves. Come, Holy Spirit.